Happy Monday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. You're learning Raptors court around here a couple times just for fun's sake. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Happy Monday. I feel good today. I only had one day off. I was off Friday. I worked Saturday. It was a light day at work, to be honest. So I was able to study for our upcoming Teams rollout, Microsoft Teams. If you've ever used it or ever seen it, it's impressive. They rolled it out months ago. You know, they sent it across our desk. You know, we're supposed to look at it. You know, we're supposed to train in it. We started to subtly support it. And, you know, so we've had it for a few months, which was kind of brilliant on management's part because they knew we wasn't going. They knew it was going to take months for us to really actually look at it and use it. And they use this as a testing bay for different features of it. This app is impressive. You can collaborate. You can keep documents in iManage, which is a document secure platform app that a lot of the law firms use to track documents, track the changes in the documents, track different revisions of documents, track who had it checked out, who worked on it. And so we got our iManage database. We have like a few of them across the world. They're so big. Probably talking millions of documents, you know, because lawyers and legal stuff, there's lots of revisions and stuff. And Teams interfaces with that. And Teams has a chat in it, collaboration, phone, you know, you can schedule meetings, webinars, what's the word, audio conferencing, all that. It's just powerful. And the thing that's happening tomorrow is that they're rolling it out to the whole company. And on May 31st, Skype goes away. Skype is simple. Skype is pretty straightforward. Everybody's used to Skype. Skype was like Messenger and Link, LYNC, you know, basic. But this Microsoft Teams is woo. So I was able to study up on that and do some different tests. And, you know, because the big thing is, how do you find a document? Me and so-and-so, we're working on a document. We can't find our changes. Where are they? That's major. That we go through that. And then when they call, you're talking about lawyers losing hours of work when you're billing like $2,000 an hour. So it's major. It's just, you know, a lot of these associates and other people, I guess, I don't know, I guess not paralegals, but associates have their careers riding on it to make partner. Their performance is rated and other people vote on for them to make partner. And now I guess that's the goal of a lawyer. I'm not sure. I'm new to the game. The legal game, but I'm catching up. Guess I'm not new. Been there 8 years. 9 in December. So I was able to do that Saturday. You know, catch up on that. Get ready for that rollout tomorrow. Laker game today at 5:30. Blah, 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 blah. Also, since I'm talking about the job and stuff, there's a... with the banking system right now is in a turmoil. There's a lot of banks failing. There's a lot of transactions because a lot of banks are failing and instability and this or that in the market for the banking system. There's a lot of inactivity between banking transactions. And I'm talking about people moving huge amounts of money where you need lawyers, or people buying this or buying that, or transacting this or transacting that behind the scenes. You know, I'm not just talking about, you know, one bank writing a check to another. Some stuff that needs like litigation and checking, this and that. And I kind of didn't notice it, but we had a meeting. And I was wondering, like, why is everybody in this meeting? I mean, upper levels were there. All my managers were there. It was a Zoom meeting. And then he went on to say, he kind of glazed over it until I heard it. When he said it the second time, he said, yeah, there's a turmoil. And he went on to say, you know, that our company it's stable, this and that. And he was like giving me that, you know, that pep talk. And I recognized the pep talk. And I was like, what is going on? And then he actually said something, you know, we're weathering the storm. You might have seen a decrease in workload. He didn't say, don't panic or don't worry about it directly. You know, he stayed upbeat about it, but I didn't even know about it. So to me, it was still alarming. But I guess other people that notice it, people who probably have been, you know, working in legal and, you know, technology for decades, you know, so they kind of picked up on it. Other people that noticed it. But I just keep my head down. I just work, you know, and if it's a lull, I usually fill it with something that I usually fill it with something. So I'm just like constantly going. So, you know, because of all that, and, you know, they discussed it, this and that, this and that. And basically, one dude said, a lot of banks are going to fail. We just need for them to go ahead and fail so we can get back to where we're going. You know, banks failing is no big deal. It's a weaning of the process, weaning of the herd, I guess. It happens. It's, you know, doesn't mean the whole system is terrible or whatever. Things just happen. The market goes in turmoil. Legal stuff that they use is, you know, not so much. And they go from there. So, today's Monday. I feel good. Woke up this morning. My weight is at 196.0, which is the lowest it's been on a Monday in a long time. 196.0 is the lowest it's been on a Monday in a very long time. Well, I wouldn't say very long, but I would say a month. Is that good enough? If I just say a month, can I do that? Yeah, 196.0 has been the longest, at least in a month, for Monday, especially where I'm scheduled to work 5 straight days. Because usually when I'm working, you know, and I don't have days off, I behave a little better, even though I got marshmallows, Fig Newtons, and ice cream and stuff in there with y'all. You know, it's gonna be tough for me not to dabble in at night, you know, after work, getting that late snack. But I try to regulate it, which doesn't seem to work. My mother suggested that I talk to somebody about my eating disorder. Of course, I wasn't trying to hear that, you know, because kids don't listen. But hey, there's something going on with me and eating. Yeah, there's something going on with me and eating. It gets to a point where I can't stop. I just need it. It's like I need something. I need to be stimulated. You know, I need a void to be filled. You know, I usually fill it with eating if I get bored or whatever. Or, you know, just like, ugh. And I want to kick that energy in or that excitement or that dopamine rush in. You know, I fill it with something. Something that I desire and reward myself with. So, but 196.0 is good. I'm walking. I'll probably drop. I can almost pretty much determine what my weight's gonna be. I'll probably drop 1.8. So I'll walk. I sweat a little bit. When it gets hot and I really sweat, I can lose up to 2.8. I was losing 2.8 every day coming out here. I was wearing sauna suit and just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I just like doing crazy stuff. Just like with the, so if I lose 1.8, that should take me down to 194.2, which is really not bad for a Monday. 5 days straight, you know, I'll be occupied with work and Laker games and, you know, won't eat as much. Got my salt-free potato chips. Went to Walmart in Burbank because I don't go to the Walmart in Panorama City anymore. Well, I wouldn't say anymore, but pretty much I'll drive out to Burbank. You know, it's a super center, but it's more crowded, definitely more crowded. But there's a lot more, you know, people working there if you need help, which it is what it is, because most of them is kids, you know, and they, you ask them something, they grab the phone and they go to the app looking for it. I was like, well, I can do that. You know, they just, you know, they're learning how to work. They're young and they're learning how to work. And there's going to be some, you know, young boys out there, you know, fool, hey, fool, you know, talking to each other, playing, chasing girls while they're working, you know, doing that. And there's other ones out there you can see who are a little bit more, quote unquote, nerdier. Just learning, you know, there's probably some out there who just are really good. You can see, they got them say, oh, yeah, you're going to be a manager of the world pretty soon. Because it's like they have a level of professionalism that maybe somebody at that age shouldn't have yet. So I went out there and I got some, looking for all non-sodium stuff. And got excited because I found zero sodium bread. And I use a bread to put in my food choppings. Because I want to give it some consistency. Even though I'm trying to, I think I'm slowly going towards where I can do stuff without bread. That I don't know if it's a carb or whatever you want to call it. Without that bread filling. Be like just a, you know, because sometimes you take vegetables. I take vegetables and put them in with cream of chicken soup. No salt, of course. Frozen vegetables, no salt, of course. And I got a whole bunch of no salt seasonings. And I'm using potassium chloride instead of sodium chloride when I do want a little bit of, you know, something. Because I'm in my cupboard up at the top shelf, I put all the salt stuff. I put all my salt stuff up there, everything that was high in sodium. Because I just, it's all or nothing. It's hard for me to do moderation. Oh, I just do a little bit of that. Then no, it's I'm going to eat it all or I ain't going to eat none. Even when I was drinking, people offered me a beer. Like, nope. If I couldn't drink six, I didn't want to drink one. And, you know, I guess it's the way I'm wired. So my blood pressure is down. And then when it did go up, I should have expected it to. I was going to say I knew that it would go up. It's something like that. Because I was eating pizza and all meat pizza from frozen. From a Kroger brand, and it's high in sodium. And I didn't care, you know. I didn't really care. Because I wanted, you know, just not treat myself, but indulge a bit. And I food chopped it up and ate it. I get low sodium provolone cheese. I got some shredded Parmesan from Walmart. The sodium content seemed low when I read it. It may be low because of the size of the serving. So I'll look into that. And a little bit of sodium ain't gonna kill me. But the whole idea is just to go Nazi on salt. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Just nothing, you know. So that's good. So I'm working that. And, you know, I've been my 10,000 steps. I did getting 10,000 steps every day. Except for April 1st. In April, so I've been keeping that going. I haven't done that in a long time, 30 straight days, I guess now. Probably over 30 straight days, getting 10,000. If I'm working, I'll get 15, because I'll wake up in the morning and walk 9,500, like 9,400, 9,500 steps in the morning like I'm doing now. Then I go to work, and trained up myself is that if I get a break, I can't sit still. I can't not do something. You know, unless I'm not feeling well or I'm under the weather. A couple times I had a headache and needed to lay down. But other than that, you know, I got to get up and move. I just can't sit there. I get up and either get on when it was raining or whatever, whether I'd get on the Gazelle exercise glider or, you know, I'd be outside. Couple times I even walked around the apartment. Went to Ohio, I walked around Kimberly's basement. So, you know, we keep that moving. Feels good. It really feels good. The weather's breaking. It's not hot yet. Had a little earthquake this morning. I felt it. At first, I felt it But I couldn't tell if it was an earthquake or not, actually. I really couldn't tell if it was an earthquake or not, to be honest with you. But, you know, I heard the rattle and stuff. I went on Facebook later. Somebody said, earthquake. I was like, yep, I guess it was. So, we have those out here. I don't want to say it. They still scare me. Even though you, after they happen, you look around, nothing really happens. But they scare the hell out of you. They scare the hell out of me. You know, I gotta, you know, hopefully, I just don't like being scared, startled. You get wake up and, you know. So, and I think that they happen all the time. It's just that, you know, if you're out moving around, you don't even know it. The earth is probably constantly moving. But geologically, it should still register. So I guess that might not be true. No, actually, it's true. We just don't, 1.7s, 2.0s. Smaller ones are always being registered. And the ones that everybody knows, I guess the news will respond to, you know, if everybody's asleep and you get a small one, we all in the bed and we feel it, people start calling, you know, and generating activity behind it. That's when the news will respond. You know, a couple of times was one, they were actually in the studio. You know, so that just, you know, throws gas on the media fire to advertise it and to cover it, which is probably not a bad thing. You know what I cut this on to talk about? I cut this on to talk about something else. Ended up talking about me. Imagine that. I cut this on to talk about something else, and I end up talking about me. What's that about? What is that about? Why do I always got to talk about me? Because it's Jeffrey TV, that's why. And is there a better subject? Is there a better subject for you? Is there a better subject for you to talk about Jeffrey? No, I'm joking. For you, could there be a better subject than for you to talk about you? I pose that question. You know, because in my mind, it's drilled into us institutionally and socially, religiously even, you know, to think about others, don't be selfish, you know, one for all for one, brother's keeper, you know, all that stuff. And I get it. I understand that we're all in this together. And I'm definitely probably coming from a more conservative viewpoint. Speaking of conservative, this Vivek guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, or whatever his name is, it's pretty good. He talks really fast, which the kids probably like, because the kids talk real fast. But what he says is, and he's kind of excited when he talks. But the information is coming at you in a manner that I appreciate. And it's information and not emotion or plight. It's, here's what we want to do, here's what we're trying to do, versus we got to stop doing this, we got to stop doing that. This is bad, this is bad. It comes down to, you know, he actually, I guess he had a tech company. You know, they got big, and so he knows about managing and, you know, handling, you know, large organizations and, you know, how managing, management, leadership, that in today's world. Vivek Ramaswamy, whatever it is, he's making all the, he's hitting all the, talk shows and stuff, and you know, and I know when they do these talk shows, they end up saying the same thing over and over and over. But I guess that's just it. I wonder if, you know, I'm sure somebody tries to put a nuance in it. I'm sure it gets better, just like me. I sometimes tell the same story over and over, but it gets better each time. And better, I mean, easier flow. You find better words. You add to it, subtract from it. Make it more poignant, make it more to the point, or less to the point, more, you know, either way, you massage it as you tell it over and over. Until it just comes out your mouth automatically. We can settle in, you done said it so much that you say, hey, I can inject this story here to help with this point. And it happens if I'm talking about something and I say, oh, because sometimes I'll get to the same point from different angles. It's like, oh, this is what I was saying when I was thinking this. I could be thinking one way, I can see a situation, say, oh, here's what I get out of this situation. And I come to a conclusion. I say, wait a minute, that's the same conclusion I came to when I said that. So when I tell you those stories, I can interchange it, the other scenario, you know, to kind of reinforce it, whatever. Because it's all just a game. And it's all just a game. Is it? Is it just a game? Game is, you have to look up the definition of game. See, game, words have definitions. And to say that it's all just a game, I may be misusing the word game, even though I kind of mean that. But game may have a connotation to it. It's like, and the reason why I got this on is because I was talking about bougie with the family. And bougie has a negative connotation, you know, for certain people. And I guess certain cultures or whatever. I guess bougie has like a negative connotation. But I was like, I'm bougie. And I ain't trying to be bothered with y'all. And so I Googled the definition. And it's just someone who's not blue collar was one of them. Someone who's upper middle class was another one. And the one I did find, and probably the one that people use the word bougie, B-O-U-J-I-E, for, is the negative connotation of somebody acting like they're richer than they are. They're more prosperous than they are. And so if that's the case, you know, I can't, that's not what I'm thinking. You know, that's not what I'm doing or what I am. But, and I was more thinking about separating myself. So the first definition I found was the one I was thinking. Separate myself from the blue collar working class. Even though I might be blue collar working class, if such a thing exists anymore, I might be upper middle class. I went to some statistical website, entered in my income, and my race, and it says I'm in the upper 83 percentile for my demographic as far as salary and stuff. So, you know, and I told that before, but I tell it again, because I really wasn't money oriented. I've never been one to go after the money, and I know people who are doing that. Even at the job I'm at, they are going after the money. They strategically are planning their careers to get the most money. I just never thought that way. And there's ways you can do that to get the most money. There's things you can do to get the most money. Even once you get hired by a company, you know, to be upwardly mobile, to keep, you know, moving up, and to keep doing that just to get the money. Not just to get the money, but, you know, to get the money. I've never been that. So for me to be on 83rd percentile without even really trying, yeah. I mean, not that I didn't try. Not that I'm not trying. Yeah, I didn't really try. I just want to always have a nice job, that's all. That's all that was on my mind. I never said, ooh. Well, a couple times, but really I said, ooh, I'm gonna get this training so I can get this job and make $120,000 a year. Ooh, I wanna get this training so I can get this job. Because I'm not making a lot of money. You know, there's people out there making more money than me. A lot of people make more money than me, but I don't care. My lifestyle is set to where the money I'm making is more than enough. And to say that you got enough money, it almost feels like a sin. Sounds like you can never say that. You can never say you got too much money. You know, because the way we're programmed to worry about risk and having a nest egg and you never know, and this could happen, that could happen. You know, so you really, it's hard for me to even say that I have enough money. And I mean, I know what I mean when I say it, but I don't really mean that kind of, you know? I'm comfortable right now. Things are in place. I'm happy with the work I'm doing for the money I get. I try to be the best employee I can be most of the time, overwhelmingly most of the time. And so, you know, I'm just making some money. I might be upper middle class. And the bougie thing, I guess I was looking at it more from a black culture standpoint, where a few of the things, if not a lot of things, that I, if not we, stereotypically associate with black culture, don't agree with. And I'm not even talking about the loving Jesus one, religious. That's probably definitely one, but you know, that's one of them. And it's just a little, I want to use ratchet. There's some, and ratchet, I think if I Google the word ratchet, I'm probably using it correctly. It's tongue in cheek, maybe, to a word to define a type of behavior. You see a lot of it. You know, I see a lot of it with, not in the black culture, but in media. You know, a lot of the black programming. And Madea comes to mind. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, I don't want to go too deep into that, but you know, that kind of stuff. I think you might know what I mean. But, I mean, it's entertaining. Okay, maybe that's it. Maybe I don't find it entertaining. And I think that black culture does. Stereotypical, you know, black person does. And I used to participate in it. I used to want to be black and do all that stuff. There's no doubt about it. There's certain things I used to do that may not have been within my character or right on the limits of my character to be black. There's no doubt about that. You know, there's absolutely no, when I was younger. As I got older, I'm like, I don't want to be associated. It's not appealing to me. That behavior and that talk, that kind of confrontational discourse, you know. And I'm not just talking about, oh, girl, I ain't talking about the, you know, the slangy. I'm above that. That part, completely no. You know, that part, I'm talking about above all that. You know, just the ghetto, you know, thing. And, but see, I just thought about the ghetto thing. What about the nails and the eyelashes and the dress? I wonder if that's black culture or is that just youth, black youth? Because it's dominant. You know, you see them nails. I just don't get it. They be all long and big. I don't think they're not functional. I don't think they're attractive. So when I see somebody with short nails, That is appealing to me. That literally is appealing to me. Where you get, you know, you can see the tops of their fingers. You know, but, you know, nails are done right, you know. Not, you know, manicure and stuff. But, you know, and it's like rounded almost. Not coming to like a, you know, a fake looking. I don't get it at all. I just don't get that at all. And the hair, sometimes the hair can just be too much. Like, my God. You know, I just that doesn't appeal to me. And it may or may not be strongly associated with Black culture. But who's to say? Who makes the call to say, this is Black culture, this is Black culture, this is Black culture? Now, who's the one that says, you know, okay, this is what Black culture is, this is what Black culture is, this is what it is to be Black? You probably have to live it. And white people could live it too. And I don't mean white people could live, you know, what it is to be white, but I'm sure they do. But they can also, through their experiences, develop an idea of what it is to be Black, even though they're white. It's like we develop an idea of what it is to be white, even though we're Black. And we definitely have developed an idea of what it is to be white, even though we're Black. So, and that's, so Bougie to me was, you know, I'm not saying I was striving for it, but I definitely want to be disassociated with a few things, if not a lot, if not the majority of what is thought to be stereotypical Black culture. When you talk to Black people, what they think Black is. Because years ago, I was the one. I go back home, people tell me, you talk like a newscaster. I was like, you talk like a news announcer. I was like, oh, I take that as a compliment. You know, somebody corrected. No, he just enunciates. And I was like, yeah, well, I ain't gonna forget that. And then, but when I do go back home, well, I used to, not so much anymore, maybe because my whole community around me has came up, whatever, not, you know, find, not, lack of a better word, like the whole community around me has went to another level, whatever that level's up or down, however you want to rate it. But it's at a different level as far as attitudes, behavior, enunciation, the way we talk and all that. A lot of us got older, a lot of us work in banks, in corporate America, and we have to interface. And we've learned that, you know, this is how you're supposed to act when you go to work. This is what you're supposed to wear. This is what you're supposed to do. Because I should preface that. This is what you're supposed to do if you want to continue working there and succeed. This is, it could even be said, this is what they want you to do. This is the behavior they're promoting. This is the behavior that they'll accept. This is the behavior that they will not accept. And if you want to work there, you got to conform, or just go work somewhere else. That's where I have a concern about how people want to go into a job and say, well, I want to do this. I should do this. It's not a public place. Private companies are not a public place. But you still have the, you know, I guess you can sue them and you can do this to them. And, you know, there's like laws that, you know, certain companies can do and not do. And I get it. And that's cool. So, you know, workers have rights. But, you know, you on somebody else's dime. My thing always was, you're the minimum wage. If you can't survive on minimum wage, why'd you take the job? And somebody might say, well, because there's no other jobs out there. And I'll say, whose fault is that? Is that your community's fault for not developing those jobs? Well, I couldn't because of redlining, the way we've been treated for the last 400 years, and the position we've been put in. It's systemic. And to that I say, well, it's been a few hundred years. Well, it's been a, no, I'll say 100, but it's been a, you know, maybe 100 years, 50, 60, you know, 100 years. And if you listen to some people, when this, what we're, this systemic issue that black people seem to be having, if it's systemic, happened, wasn't happening right after slavery ended. Well, it was that, it was a time, put it this way, it was a time where black family was strong, and they were working, there was a middle class, and it was thriving. And then something happened to change it. You just listen to Thomas Sowell, he explains it, how the welfare system made it advantageous for the black family not to be together, and it created welfare, and why it hit the black family so much, or we're just hearing about the black people. Maybe it's probably, and there's definitely more people, there's definitely more white people on welfare than black, but the percentage, I guess, is skewed. You know, I could do the research, but I'm pretty sure that's it. So, you know, because it hit the community, you got generational welfare recipients who, you know, that's all they know. The only thing they know is that their mother had her when she was 14, went down, signed up, you know. Baby daddy know how to act, stay away from this and do that. But then he can't go get a job or nothing. So I guess he got to, you know, do illegal stuff to make money or under the board. As soon as he make money, welfare gonna come get it. And they don't play. They got me. And I was working and paying. I was actually paying and they still came and got me. So, you know, it comes a point to where, you know, what more can the system do? Okay, say it's white people's fault. Say it's systemic. Say white people horrible. Say white people, you know, catastrophic events to people of color, minorities. What can be done to fix it? It happened. And one conversation I was having was, we don't know. It ain't our fault. They need to fix it. And I'm like, that's just not the way I operate in life, period. I take responsibility for everything. I take responsibility for everything. In fact, if I'm at work and I have a problem, I'm the first. I look at myself, how do I fix this? And that is even above and beyond my bosses and my boss's boss. Because I know, or I feel, that I have the power, knowledge, influence, and capability to fix anything if I really want to. And some things you can't fix. Some things you can't fix because they don't, you know, it's not your place to fix them. But if something is related to me within a scope, a sphere, a horizon around me that I have influence on or control or responsibility. I take it as responsibility. I take it as a responsibility for the things around me to operate and to behave and to respond to me the way that I want them to. I don't look to anybody else. I am. I take it out of hands because, call it ego or whatever, I feel I'm smart enough and capable to get what I want no matter what. That means even if, you know, my boss, if I gotta go, not that I would go above my boss or around my boss or anything like that. Oh, I know how to, the system. I know the system. I believe that I know enough about the system to make it work for me, regardless, and even that may even be use my boss, quote unquote, user, to utilize, utilize, you know, people in higher authority than me. But it all basically comes down to me fixing it. If I'm working, I got a problem. I very rarely go to my boss or somebody and say, this don't work, I need to fix. Unless it's just something that I was just thinking. Unless it's something out of my jurisdiction where I literally don't have access to. You know, sometimes you just don't have access to it. You know, we're compartmentalized to a point, even though I got more responsibility in this job than I ever had on a network and tools and resources and data. There's certain things that I'm limited, so that I have to reach out. But even that reaching out, I usually, you know, I say, hey, this is not working, it's not working. Can you do this for me? Or can you answer this? Or why isn't this working? You know, can we get this fixed? You know, I ask people, you know, who, you know, but sometimes I'm lazy too. Just to be honest, sometimes I'm lazy and I'm like, I'm just passing this off. You know, I'll do that too. But that means it's something that I really didn't want fixed immediately, or I can wait, or I can just pass it off. And I have, you know, and just let them fix it. But pretty much I take responsibility for everything around me, or a very large horizon or area around me. I've been farting a lot. I think that's a good thing. Can y'all hear it when I fart? Feels good to have that gas come out of me. Probably had ice cream yesterday. I don't know. But I'm still chopping my food chopping. So, love my food chopper. Love my cook yesterday. I was doing, well, I wouldn't call it cooking. But, you know, I made food yesterday, prepared food prep. Made food. I made some at Walmart. I got some carne, some kind of chopped pork. I got, you know, some, my bratwurst, eggs, I made grits, you know, just for the whole week. And I had some vegetables. I take vegetables, I farm out. And I farm out and put them in a skillet, a little bit of water, actually a little bit of oil, olive oil and water, but you know, just to kind of soften them up. Because I'm realizing that since I put them in a food chopper, I may not want to cook them as hard and dry them out like I'm used to eating them. So I put some of those in there. I took some cream of chicken. Of course, it was no salt cream of chicken. You know, put it in there, or chicken soup or whatever, chicken mushroom, no salt, put it in there and make kind of a, like a, you know, thing. And I take that, put it in the food chopper, put some meat in it. And I've been putting potatoes in it and cheese. And I get provolone cheese, low sodium provolone, because I'm thinking in my mind that cheddar, extra sharp cheddar is not going to be the taste I want. You know, extra sharp cheddar is not the taste that I want, that I'm looking to get to. But, you know, I'm going to try it one time, you know. In fact, I put some cheese. All right. When I went on a vacation, when I go back to Ohio, I freeze a lot of stuff. So I froze some cheese. And, you know, you get it out and it thaws out. But it's brittle. It's not as, it crumbles a lot. You know, you can still grate it, but it crumbles. It tends to crumble. So I kind of broke that up, put it in a food chopper, and let it chop into like a, you know, really nice chopped up kind of, whatever you want to call it. So I just, and I put that in the Tupperware, you know, sprinkle that on stuff. So I don't do that. But I don't like, I'm thinking I don't want to have, and plus I use my cheese as salt. You know, whatever cheese I put on food is my salt flavoring or whatever. And what was I gonna say? So that's that, you know. Got food yesterday, so I got boiled eggs, grits. I'll take a quarter cup. What I do need to do though is start measuring the stuff that I put in the food chopper. I just kind of look at it and I try to fill the food chopper up. And I may be making meal too big. And if I make them too big, I'll eat them anyway. I'll eat it all anyway. And I'll be like, and when I go to scoop all the food out after it chops up and I look at it, I get excited. There's so much food. There'll be so much food in there, I go, ooh. I get like excited because I like seeing all that food. And I think it's healthy, so I think I can eat it all, you know, without major consequences, which may or may not be true. So, you know, you look at it that way. Anyhow, my energy's been really good lately. My energy's been really good lately in the fact that I did a couple of videos and I go an hour straight with energy, you know, coming at conversations one after the other, stuff flowing off the tongue, just going from one thing to the other, feeling excited about whatever I'm talking about, you know, so that's good, I think. That's good. Like I said, after the accident, after the passing out, I made a few adjustments. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth to do that. And I literally was punched in the mouth by the floor somehow. And now I'm walking. I got something in my sock and it's irritating me. I tried to get it out. And I thought I got it out, but I didn't. I could still feel a little piece in there. But, and then, oh, another thing. When I get home, I need to vacuum. I need to vacuum. I walk from my bedroom to the bathroom. I get back, there's stuff all on the bottom of my feet. and I get home, I take my socks and I shake them out. And they got all kinds of stuff in them. You know, like, not weeds, but those little things from, you know, plants and I guess spores or whatever you want to call it. You know, so I definitely need to vacuum. So I was thinking about getting one of those Rumbas. You know, think about getting a Rumba, get it to, you know, just be going whenever it needs to go. I guess it may work in my apartment. You know, I guess the technology has probably evolved to a point where it can handle different scenarios, apartments and different rooms or whatever. But either that or I could just vacuum. Because I never thought when I got hardwood floors. See, I can go from one topic to the other almost effortlessly with enthusiasm. I never thought when I got hardwood floors, I said, oh, I guess I can get rid of my vacuum cleaner. Actually, I guess technically it is my vacuum cleaner, but I didn't buy it. The Russian bought it. It's for pets. It's for dogs to get her, because I used to have carpet. And that carpet was nasty. She did not like that carpet. And it was nasty. You know, they wasn't going to change it. They had been there too long. And I guess, you know, the law says you be there for so long, they should change it, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I'll ask and I'll push. But I'm not trying to make any waves because I like it here. And I don't want to be that guy. And I held off for years and years and years to the point they said, all right, Mr. Mitchell, you want to upgrade? Here's what we're going to do. We'll move you out to another apartment. They moved me to another apartment. I lived there for 2 months while they renovated mine. Can't beat that. And they moved my stuff. They had movers come move all my stuff. I boxed all my stuff up. In fact, I boxed all my stuff up. I think I went on vacation. And when I came back, I went into another place. And what happened, when I came back, they thought they had left the key to the new place there. There was no key there. So I had to sleep in my old apartment, which thank God it still had carpet, but I didn't have, there was nothing in it, nothing. So I had to make a bed of clothes out of the clothes I had in my suitcase to lay on, and I slept. Then I got the key eventually to the new place. And not the new place, the temporary place. When I got the temporary place, all my stuff was already in there. And the temporary place was already, what's the word, rejuvenated? No. What's the word where, you know, they upgrade your I can't think of it. See, I can't think of a word. What's the word when they not reupholster, I can't think of it. When they did that, you know, it was already upgraded and not restored. I can't think of it. But it was already done. So it was nice to be in that, you know, new space to get a sample of what it's like to be in there. Then when I got mine, it was nice. Life changing. You know, a couple hundred dollars more rent, but life changing. I thought one tenant. It's so nice. Make you feel like you got to get new friends. Not that I had any friends in the beginning with, but you know, it just took everything up. And I had a new car, new job. See, that's not acting bougie or being bougie. Being bougie is acting like you're not rich. I mean, acting like you're rich when you're not. And I'm not doing that. I actually feel uplifted. I feel like a different, I don't say economic class or a different, not different demographic, but a different mindset, you know, for, you know, if you go from, because I can't do Super 8 hotels no more, very rarely. I go someplace, I gotta get 3-star. You know, certain hotels, I just look at the price and I just exclude them. You know, I read the reviews or whatever. And you read the reviews, all the hotels get bad reviews. They're gonna have good and bad. But you gotta look at it and to see when the review was written, who wrote it, and why. You know, a lot of them, but some of them used to go, oh, stay away, rude, this, rude hotel keepers. Or rude, you know, lobby, I can't think of any words right now. Rude, you know, hotel owners or whatever, don't bother me. That never bothered me, you know, but noise, crime, you know, people smoking in the lobby, element outside, that kind of stuff. But mostly noise and cleanliness. I'm starting to pay attention to cleanliness because I got used to staying in nicer hotels where when you lay on the bed and you know it's clean, it just feels clean and sharper, and the newer sheets, and they feel better, and the pillows, you know, ain't flatter, whatever. But sometimes you just want a $60 hotel for one night because you're not going to be in the room that much. You just need to crash. Sometimes you want that suite where you need a room when you need good internet, basically. When I go back and I go place and I'm working, I got to get the Marriott because I need good internet. And that gets pricey. So when I go back to Ohio, I stay with my daughter to get the good internet. And then when we need a break from each other, I'll go to the Super 8 where I'm not working. I find a nice little Super 8 out there in Niles. It's off the beaten path, nice and quiet. And they got a fitness center. You know, a little fitness center. I can get on a treadmill or whatever like that. Because, you know, the weather. Sometimes you just can't go outside because of the winter. But see how my energy is? I can just talk. Spend an hour. Even though I'm forgetting words. Renovated? Apartment renovate was the word. Is the word renovated? See, I knew it would come to me. Hotel staff, was that the other word? It feels good. Summertime's coming, I love summer. I love being in the warmth. I say because I was born in June, I like the summer. My cousin was born in October, she loves the cold. So we go that way. Why do I like doing this so much? I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for over 10 years, a decade. I've been recording myself for a long time. And look, I just did an hour. I just did an hour just talking. Who am I talking to? What am I doing? Some people say I'm streaming consciousness. Why do I like doing it so much? What is in me that makes me want to do this? I definitely don't feel like I'm wasting my time, but even if I was, it wouldn't matter because I enjoy it. I'm getting something out of it. There's definitely a deep pleasure I get from it. And it's definitely, I see this being valuable in the future for some reason. I don't know why. I just have a faith that it's going to be valuable. It's going to be worth something. So, because I just talk. I'm just talking. What is this about? Do I feel people listening? I do. Do I care if people listening? I do, but not a lot. You know, how many views, I do check and see how many views I get, just to see, you know, just to check that. And I am, and to be honest with you, I am not leery, but apprehensive or whatever, concerned about should it go viral and I become this big giant sensation that would open up, you know, haters and people coming at me and, you know, this stuff that comes with, you know, deep fame and have millions of people looking at your stuff. You know, and it's not that they, you know, if a million people looking at your stuff, it's like that's micro, you know, looking at it in a microscopic, you know, way. If so many people, like if one person looks at it, you know, it's almost like overview, but if like millions look at it, your stuff is really going to get looked at. Every syllable you say is probably going to be scrutinized and looked at, and there's going to be millions of opinions, different things, this to that. People coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, Jerry, Jerry this and all that. I'm not sure that part. I don't really care to have that part, because one thing I always want to be able to do, and it'd probably break my heart if I couldn't, to be able to go anywhere I want and just walk outside and just, you know, walk down the street. I don't think I want to give that up. So my anonymity, you know, it's cool. Because if I still want to, you know, just sit on the banks of the Mississippi in New Orleans, you know, without people coming up to me. In fact, the people who come up to me now bug me. And I'm not even famous or nothing. No, they don't bug me. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, yeah. If I go to a P-Funk show or something, I know there's going to be a certain amount of public participation that I'm be almost required to do because of who I am. Sometimes I don't even want that. Sometimes I just want to hide. But once I get there and usually my energy get going, that's not the case. Anyhow, swing on y'all two times. For me, for the phone. And for every elementary particle that's ever existed in this or in any universe, that ever was, is, or will be, an hypothesis of all as one, a theory of universe. Not a theory of the universe, a theory of universe. A hypothesis of all is one, the totality of it all. Y'all, my name is Shepherd.